You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show, and I welcome you to it. We talk about everything in life, and hello to you, my friends, from San Antonio, Texas, where I spoke the last two nights here and have been having a wonderful time, and thank you for the warm reception here at KLUP, my station in San Antonio. I have to tell you, and you know this, I'm very open with you, so you'll be able to react intellectually any way you like, but I hide nothing, and I want you to know that there are many things that I am far more worried about than global warming. But regarding global warming, the thing I am most worried about is the lack of open discussion in our universities and in our media. And I have somebody on who's one of the most distinguished climatologists in America. Dr. William Gray is a pioneer in the science of forecasting hurricanes. He is emeritus professor of atmospheric science at Colorado State University and head of the Tropical Meteorology Project at Colorado State University's Department of Atmospheric Sciences. Just read a piece of his, I believe it was the Wall Street Journal. Is that right, Dr. Gray?
What you said is generally right. I don't know about the Wall Street Journal.
There was a piece. Was it about you or by you? I don't remember.
There was a piece by me. Yes, about 6 weeks ago or so. About hurricanes are not getting worse. We're in a up cycle for them, and this is natural.
Yeah. That was not it then. It was something just this week, and it was about you, and it was about the larger issue of your belief, and this is one of the things I want you to speak out on. First of all, tell us in a nutshell what your take on man-made global warming is as one of the country's distinguished meteorologists.
Yeah, well, I've been appalled the last 20 years at what I've heard and so on. I think maybe humans can slightly make the globe a little bit warmer, but nothing like what they've been saying, what the global models say and what has been portrayed in the media. I think, yes, we've had some global warming the last 100 years and particularly the last 30 years. But this is natural, in my view, due to the ocean circulation changes, and we've had temperature changes like this in the past. So I think the topic has been grossly exaggerated by those who, one of the ways of getting research funds is to scare people, tell them that things are quite bad, and the average citizen who can't judge a matter will not mind the federal government putting large amounts of research money and so on into this topic.
If one were to poll privately the members of whatever department you were affiliated with at Colorado State University, for example, what would the consensus be with regard to the cause of any warming taking place?
Well, they would probably be very reluctant to come down on any side, although many of my colleagues here and, of course, across the country are getting research grants and so on that depend to a large extent on this threat being manufactured and exaggerated. And I think they wouldn't give you a direct answer. Now, people like me who are older, retired, I have my retirement earned. I hope they can't take that away. And I'm going to keep speaking out and doing this. I feel I have an obligation. I've been supported over 50 years in research on the atmosphere and tropical storms and things. And I have many colleagues, older colleagues that have been around with a lot of experience who think like I think too, but many of them are reluctant to speak out. See, when you speak out like this, you lose some of your colleagues. There are so many people dependent on, like, you must get peer review on your research proposals and the papers you write, and when the majority are thinking a certain way and are receiving grants to do research on global warming and to say it's an important thing, if you break with that group, you sort of isolate yourself, and you have trouble getting grants and things. I know there's a lot of younger people around who don't believe in the human-induced global warming concept very much, but they are very reluctant to speak out, and it's not in their benefit to take on City Hall, so to speak, on this topic.
So you're saying that and please tell me if I hear you correctly, that there are many of your colleagues in the sciences who have compromised science for the sake of money.
Well, yeah, but they can rationalize it. You see, we do have environmental problems in the world, and I think, yes, we have a lot of environmental problems, but they have to be solved on their own merits. They're usually local problems that have their own merits to be solved or not solved, and it just works out that way, that often why rock the boat if you can? Very few people will, they have jobs and they want to maintain these jobs and things.
Dr. Gray, Newsweek magazine had a cover article about a month ago in which it spoke about skeptics about man-made global warming leading to catastrophe, and said essentially that anybody who claimed to be a scientist and was skeptical was being funded by big business, particularly.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the sort of, there's sort of a mild McCarthyism going on in this field. Yes, they're trying to, I have never received any fossil fuel money from anybody. That isn't true. Some of us have been, we care about the truth in the matter. At my age, I just turned 78. At my age, I'm going to tell the truth as best I can. And many of us older people that have been in the field a long time feel this way, but some speak out, some don't. I've decided to speak out a bit on this. I think we are not in the world is not in a climate crisis, as Vice President Gore would say. We have many other important problems in this world we have to work on. And this is a red herring item that we can't do anything about anyways. If we vastly cut down on our fossil fuels, it would be a drop in the bucket in terms of global temperature change. The third world, India, China, and so on, are going to keep burning these fossil fuels. And I don't think, yes, CO2 will go up. Yes, there may be some minor warming of the globe when we double CO2 at the end of the 21st century, say 0.3, 0.5 degrees centigrade or so warming. But certainly not the 2 to 5 degrees of models and everyone says. And there's nothing we can do about it. There is also the slight benefit. A slightly warmer world may have more positive than negative effects to it. And crops grow better in things when there's higher CO2. But one of the big things is word is out, Gore has said, and so many people have said, that the debate is over. All the scientists have spoken. That's not true at all. The debate hasn't gone on. And if our government really wanted to get to the bottom of this, they would have arrange that money go to skeptics and money go to those that believe in human-induced warming, And
Let me reintroduce you, Dr. Gray, and I will take anybody who wants to challenge this eminent scientist. Please feel free to 1-8-PRAGER-776. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. I am speaking to one of the eminent atmospheric scientists in the country, and that is Dr. William Gray, Professor Emeritus of the of Colorado State University, where he was head of the Tropical Meteorology Project and was in the Department of Atmospheric Sciences. Again, he's an emeritus professor and does not believe that man-made CO2 emissions are a major factor in the warming of the globe, and the warming of the globe in any event is not one of the greatest and most pressing issues. Have I summarized you accurately, Dr. Gray?
Yes. Yes, you have, Dennis.
Okay, then let's get some calls here. And 1-8-PRAGER-776, if you have any questions, you believe the Al Gore thesis, as apparently a great number of Americans do, this is a perfect opportunity to bounce this off a scientist who does not share those views. And let's go to La Mirada, California, and Glenn. Oh, boy, what happened here? Sean, you want to... Okay, Glenn, you're on with Dr. Hi. William Gray. Hi.
Yeah, Dr. Gray, thank you very much for speaking out, because I feel like you, the science isn't settled. And if you look at the hottest years, they're in the 1930s, which kind of puts your word at the forefront. But every time I talk to folks about this, they say what you said, the ocean currents are changing. Is that possible because of the polar ice caps melting?
Yeah, I think the polar ice caps are melting because the Atlantic thermohaline circulation since 95 has been very strong, and it's advected warmer water into the Arctic area. I think this is natural. We had a lot of warming in the Arctic, too, in the 30s and early 40s, and then we had this cooling trend from the middle 40s to middle 70s, and much of the sea ice began to freeze again. Now, in the Antarctic, the sea ice is actually growing a bit with time. So these are changes that occur. Yes, they're there, and it's, you know, the lifetime of people is relatively short compared to the climate changes, and people see something and they think, this has never happened again. It usually has. Yes, there's been a lot of play in the media on the melting sea ice in the Arctic. And, yes, that should go on. But it started to melt rather rapidly about the middle 1990s when, indeed, the Atlantic Ocean current
All right.
Changes took place.
All right, Sacramento, California. Mike, you're on with Dr. William Gray, Colorado State University, and Dennis Prager. Hi.
Thank you, Dennis. Dr. Gray, have you seen the British Channel 4 hour and 15-minute documentary on this? And if so, what do you think of it?
No, I haven't seen that. I've seen... you know, there was a British group that made this tape called the Global Warming Swindle. I've seen that, but I don't know what you're talking about with regard to.
Yeah, you should. It would be fascinating, Dr. Gray, for you to see it. It's a very famous documentary made by a British TV network, and
is this the one? It's called the Global Warming Swindle?
I believe it is. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes. I have seen that. I thought it was a very good film, and I would say it should be required of all those that see the Gore film. You know, in a way, I hear the Gore film is being shown to so many students around. In a way, we're brainwashing a lot of our younger people here with this. And I know in Britain they've recently there's
a requirement
passed a rule that they have to designate the film politics, not science.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they have to list nine untruths that the judge, who was not even a scientist, uncovered nine untruths or lies. I don't know what the term is that they used in the case of the British. Yeah, let's go to I guess they call a lot of Californians are calling in. Pomona, California, Joseph. Hello, Joseph. Dennis Prager and Professor William Gray.
Hi, Dennis, and hi, Professor Gray. Just a little background. I'm a systems scientist. I have a PhD from UCLA in systems science, and I work on GPS systems. And so I have to do a lot of modeling and measurement, modeling of noise, et cetera. What confidence do we have in the models and in the simulations going back centuries? And what type of measurement errors did we have centuries ago when we measured impacts on the environment and on the climate?
Well, there's a lot of paleo work going on, you know, where they're digging into ocean cores, and there's coral they look at for changes and things. There's a whole lot of, it's a very active field now, this paleoclimatology. As regard to the models, if you're doing models, see, that's one of the things. I don't believe the global climate models. I've been watching numerical prediction go on in the last 50 years. It started in 1955, and if you're talking about forecasts of 5 to 10 days, there's been great improvement there, and I'm a great believer in the research and work that's going on that scale. But when you get beyond about 10 or 15 days, the energy components, air-sea interaction, condensation, warming, evaporation, cooling, all these things come into play, and you just can't write code and model this and integrate it hundreds of thousands of time steps into the future and get anything
okay.
out.
Next, let's go. All right. Doc, I'm just pushing on because of time, Dr. Gray. Forgive me.
Sure.
Spokane, Washington, Natalie. Hello, Natalie.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. Hi, Dr. Gray.
Thank you.
I'm listening online. I love the topic, but I'll do my best at stating my question because I don't know a ton about it. But I just recently read a local, very small town, Russian article about the Russian equivalent of NASA putting out a recent study that said that actually that we reached our peak from 1998.
Peak in warming was reached in 05.
1998 to 05, right.
Right, and now that there might be cooling. A quick comment there, Dr. Gray?
I think the peak was reached in 1998. There's been a number of warm years since, but not quite as warm. Yes, I believe we're going to enter a modest cooling period in the next 5-8 years.
All right. Well, let me just say,
similar to what we had in the middle 40s to middle 70s.
Dr. Gray, I salute you for your science and for your courage, sir. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show, major documentary maker coming up on my program. All right, we go from a global warming scientist skeptic to a remarkable documentarian and documentary.